I'm not going to preach that again, but I do have some scriptures that precede those scriptures that I read last April. That one, I guess, has been more quoted since I have preached that one than anything that I have ever tried to stand with, and it was nothing that I did. It is certainly the Lord's sermons. It's His scripture. It is His words that need to come out this morning. The same words that I speak every Sunday morning, they're not mine. They belong to the Lord. And if anybody's going to stand and preach, I don't care who it is. I don't care what man it is. If he's not being helped by the Lord, he's not doing anybody any good. Paul said we need to preach in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And I am contending this morning that we still must preach that way. I believe that. I believe if you're going to preach anything, you need to have the Lord with it. And I have struggled with this all week. I have not wanted to preach this, and I've not really fought with the Lord. I just really don't want to preach it. Sometimes we just don't want to preach things, and we don't understand why we don't. I have no idea why I don't want to preach this this morning, but I know it's what the Lord would have us. I was in the shower earlier this week, and these thoughts came to me, and they're very familiar reading, very familiar scripture should be. When I start to read them. But I would ask that you would pray for us this morning. The 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings and the 17th chapter. We'll start with the first verse, and I'll give you a moment to get there. It's in the Old Testament. I'm going to be dealing with Elijah. And the sermon that I was talking about from last year was when Elijah and Ahab showed down about whether it was really going to rain or not. And Elijah showed him who the true God was, and I'm thankful that that was the case. He showed him that it would rain, and after there'd been a famine, and I'm going to be before the famine today. I'm going to be before it rained. I'm going to show you a time when things were really rough for people. And there's a couple people in here that look pretty bleak for. But the Lord passed by and He blessed them, and I'm thankful for that. 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. First verse says this: "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith that is before Jordan. And he shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." The 8th verse goes on to say this, and this is where the bulk of our reading will come from, the bulk of our thoughts. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, go thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of will fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." And if that could be our a portion of reading this morning. We may go on and read through the 24th verse here in a little while, but we want to take for lesson text basically the 8th through the 16th verse. And I want to title this morning, and you'll get a kick out of it because I did when the Lord gave it to me, "Welcome to the Mount Calvary Bakery." And I know that seems a little silly, and you may be thinking this preacher has lost his mind, and maybe I have. That's all right. A lot of times the Lord gives me some very strange thoughts about scriptures and very wild titles for scriptures and lessons sometimes, but I believe a lot of times He gives those so that we might take a hold of it and understand what God is really saying here. When I say welcome to the Mount Calvary Bakery, I don't want you to get in your mind today that I'm going to be preaching about a bakery. No, no, no. I want you to know and understand this morning that I'm going to be talking about something that goes far greater than just the title of a sermon. You know, when I think about these verses of Scripture, and I've used them before, I don't know that I've ever used them here, but I've used them before about the widow and her son. And I want you to realize that sermon that I preached about, it's going to rain. I still believe it's going to rain. I believe it's already raining in this church. But I believe Elijah knew, and he told Ahab, he said, it's not going to rain for 3 years. It's not going to rain. There's not going to be anything, rain at all. There's not going to be that. It happened. And boy, times got hard for a lot of people. You take around here, it doesn't rain for a summer, and we're all screaming and crying for a little rain. We want some rain so that our crops can grow, so that our fields are full again. We want that. I know today that the world looks today on the outward things, but I'm talking about spiritual things this morning. And I want to clarify something this morning. Should I start talking about Israel, and I believe that I will, I want you to know today that I'm not talking about the physical Israel that the world knows of today. I believe that Israel's a good place, but when they talk about peace for Israel, I believe He's talking about saved Israel. I believe He's talking about the Lord's Israel, spiritual Israel. I believe in that this morning because I believe as much as they need peace in the Middle Eastern countries, God's people need peace today. I'm convinced of that. But as I thought about these verses of Scripture, the Lord got a hold of him, and Brother Colin asked this morning in Sunday school about times that the Lord was behind the scenes on something. And here's one of those instances where the Lord was behind the scenes on something. He'd already had what was going to happen already planned out. He already knew what was going to happen, what was going to take place, but nobody else did. Even Elijah the prophet himself, he had no idea. I believe he knew though. And I guess the underlying theme of this message this morning is about faith. Because I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we need faith this morning. Every single one of us need faith. And we don't need to put our faith in mankind or anything that this world has. We need to put our faith in Jesus Christ Himself. He's who our help comes from. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I believe this very much, that the man that saved my soul is the one that I must have faith in, even after I've been saved for a number of years. I don't believe that faith should ever stop. We're going to read some verses about faith after a while if the Lord will get us there. But as I thought about this, and I want to paint this picture for you about Elijah going down to this brook and the Lord saying, "You just tarry here. You just stay here just a little while. And you drink from the brook, and I'm going to make sure that you have something to eat." And then he gets down to a point where the brook he'd been drinking from dries up. And I guess in some aspects, Elijah probably thought, "Lord, what are you going to do? The brook's dried up, and I have no way to get any water anymore. And I want you to remember, it's still not raining there." There was no way to replenish that brook. In the 7th verse, and it says, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." I'm going to say today that we're living in a day and time where things are drying up all around us spiritually. The world is drying up from the Spirit because they don't understand what the Spirit is. They don't understand how the Holy Spirit works anymore. We're living in a day and time where you say Spirit and nobody knows what you're talking about anymore. I still believe in the Holy Spirit. I still believe that it leads, guides, and directs every single one of us. Maybe this message is a sequel to last Sunday. I don't know. I don't really know just exactly where it's going to go, but I do know this. If you'll pray with me this morning, that we'll try to get our thoughts out in the way that the Lord would have for us to. But Elijah, still holding on to the Lord, still having faith, the Lord tells him where to go next. And I want you to get this picture. The Lord told him there would be a little widow woman or a woman that would be there to take care of him. And I guess maybe if I was Elijah this morning, I might think, are you serious? I'm going to get to this city. I'm in need of water. I'm in need of something to eat. And you're going to send a little widow woman, a little woman to take care of me. And so he goes. He does. He goes. And he goes to this city and he gets to the gate. And I want you to start painting this picture in your mind. I want you to see just a frail little old woman. And that's who she is in my mind. The Bible says that she was a widow woman. I don't know how old she was or maybe what she was like physically, but I almost can imagine her just struggling to get just a few sticks. Her going around, and in the back of her mind, she knows what's taking place. And today, I want you to know that we all know what's taking place in our nation and a lot of churches around this area. We know that the Spirit is leaving a lot of places. We know that. We know that's in the back of our mind. But you think about this little widow woman. She's just going around and she's getting her sticks. In the back of her mind, she knows what's back at home. I've got just a little meal, and I've got just a little oil. And you know, after I get that, me and my son, we're just going to have to die. Because we're not going to have any food, and there's no way to grow any more food. You know, so after I get these sticks, I'm just going to go back home, and I'm just going to die. And I think we get that way a lot of times. We get in a state that we realize and we look around and everything today looks so bleak around us. But I'm contending this morning that we have somebody to help us. We have somebody who loves us. We have somebody who is still fighting for us. He was still fighting for them here. I want you to know a little bit about this place. It was a Phoenician city. It's a Gentile city. Ethbaal was over it. Oh, and I guess he probably had these people fearful of some things. He probably told them, if you see anybody come into this city and they start prophesying or they seem a little strange, you let us know and we'll take care of them. So Elijah was going into enemy territory. He was going in a place where it was obvious he was not welcome. I don't really know all the circumstances around it, but I do believe that the Lord led him there and let him know there was a work to be done. I believe he knew that. So keep in your mind today, just this little widow woman, she's picking up her sticks. And then she meets a man named Elijah. And what does Elijah ask her? Remember, water, meal, oil, food, scarce. Not a lot of it. Not a lot of it to go around. And so this man named Elijah, he asked the woman, he said, fetch me just a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And I guess maybe this lady might have thought, well, this crazy fool, I don't have much water to begin with. And you want me to give it to you? You want me to waste my water, the water that I have to last me until I have to die? You're wanting me to give you that? In the back of my mind, I'd be like, well, this fool ain't getting none of my water. Can't have none of it. It's mine. Me and my son, we're fixing to die. All we've got is what we've got, and we're not getting any more. It's probably their thought process. And I can just imagine her walking off. It says in the 11th verse, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And I guess maybe in her mind something clicked and she probably thought, you're in the same boat that I'm in. You have nothing to eat and I'm fixing to have nothing to eat. So you just suffer just like I am. You just take what you've got and go as far as you you can with it, and I'll take what I've got and I'll go as far as I can with it, and we'll just leave it at that. And she says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and just a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Things were dire for her. They didn't look good. I'm going to say today, and I'm not a gloom and doom preacher, I hope you don't take it that way, but we look around today, things look pretty dire for all of us. They do. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it this morning. We're living in a world that people are turning away from God and they're turning away from church on every hand. We look around and people are not even supporting the things of God anymore. They're turning away and they're looking at it and they're laughing in the calamity of the Lord's church. And you know, I think sometimes that sinks into us just a little bit and we think, what are we even doing here? Why are we even striving? We've got just a little. Oh, we don't even have a lot, but we've got just a little and then we're going to die. I hear a lot of times about how churches are going to die. I hear a lot about how the Lord's work is just not going to grow anymore. How the Lord is done with His churches. I'm going to contend this morning that as long as the Lord is allowing time to go, there will still be churches that God has providence with. There will still be places where God's Spirit will be, and I'm praying more than anything. It's right here. Brothers and sisters, we look around and we may be like this widow woman that thinks they're going to die. But we're not going to. We're not dying. Brothers and sisters, we're very much alive this morning. You just look around and know and realize that God is alive, so therefore we are alive. What a thought that is. Because He lives, we live. Because His Spirit is here, that means we have something. When you think about, welcome to the Mount Calvary Bakery. You look around and there's a world that doesn't have much. A lot of churches that don't have a whole lot. Brothers and sisters, in a time when there's a famine in the land, welcome to the Mount Calvary Bakery. We've still got the Lord. We've still got His Spirit. We've still got people that want to serve the Lord. We've got more to be thankful for than we could ever imagine. We've got something this morning far greater than what this world's got. Oh, they're looking for things. Oh, they want things that make them feel good. You want to talk about something that makes you feel good? You talk about a heaven-sent, heartfelt salvation that'll start in your heart and work its way all over. You want to talk about something that'll feel good? Oh, we've got something that'll feel good, and it won't just feel good physically. Oh, it'll feel good spiritually. It'll take that old heart. It'll take those old stony hearts. Oh, and it'll break them open. I'm going to welcome you this morning to the Mount Calvary Bakery. We're not closed for business. We're not like that woman there who thought she was going to die. I'm telling you, we've got great things when we've got God. I told somebody yesterday, they asked how things were going here. And I said, you know what? God is blessing us. We may not have a whole lot of people, but what we do have want to serve the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. That's what it's all about. I don't care if there's 5,000 or 5. As long as God's Spirit is here, that's what matters. There's people meeting all over the place today, and they don't have an ounce of God's Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we meet here on Wednesday nights sometimes, and there might be less than 10 of us, but the Spirit still meets here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in His name, there would His Spirit be also. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced this morning that we still have something to offer this world. What do we have to offer the Lord? As people, we don't have a whole lot. You know, if you want something that I've got, you can have it. You want the car I drive? Be my guest. You want the suit that's on my back today? Take it. But it won't matter to you because those things are temporary. And what we're talking about today, what we as a church are striving to take forward, is something that will last forever. Think about what Elijah told this widow. Talk about some faith. Elijah told her, he said, "You just make me that cake. You just go get the stuff and you make me one. And then you make you and your son one." And she probably thought, well, I guess we're going to die a whole lot quicker than what we thought we were going to. But you know what she did? She went and did it anyways, I believe. I believe she went and she made that cake. And you know what God does when we follow Him? You know what God does when we follow His commands and His leadership? You know what happens when we get in the center of God's will? You know what happens when we have faith? God blesses us. God allows us to have more than we ever thought we could have. You might look at me today and you might think, "Well, preacher, you ain't got much." You're right. Physically, I don't have a whole lot in this world. But what I've gotten here outweighs everything that this world could ever have. Right now, there's a man running for president of the United States, and he's a really rich man. But I'm going to tell you today, that's all he's got. He's going to die a sad, lonely, broken little man. I'm not worried about things of this life. Brothers and sisters, they're temporary anyways. They're temporary. They will not last. But the things that we stand for, the Lord's church, the soul, salvation, and I mean true salvation. I don't mean something that the world has come up with. I mean true salvation. That's worth it all. He goes on to say he made the cake. And we're not going to read the rest of the verses. We've got another place that the Lord wants us to go. And it says, "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which He spake by Elijah." Brothers and sisters, she gave the best that she had. I believe that was it. And when she gave that, the Lord blessed her. I believe that. I believe in giving the best that we've got for the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you this morning, He gave the best that He had for me. And brothers and sisters, I can spend the rest of my life trying to serve the Lord and doing things for Him, but it could never take the place of what He did for me at Calvary. I'm indebted to Him forever. You might say, "Preacher, that sounds awful bad. I don't want to be indebted to nobody." I'm going to tell you today, what I'm in debt for is a home eternal someday after a while. It's worth it all. If the Lord takes everything I've got, it's worth it. When I say welcome to the Mount Calvary Bakery, I want you to know today that we're in a famine in the land. I want you to turn with me to the book of Joel. It's a minor prophet. Should be after. The major prophet Isaiah should be in after there. It's right before the New Testament. You're going to see a few books in there, smaller books, and Joel will be in there. Joel is one of my favorite of the minor prophets. You say, "Preacher, you say that about all of them." Guess what? I love them all. Love them all because guess what? They've got some words of encouragement for us. I'm going to say today, a lot of the things that we read about in the Old Testament, they happened to these people. They were real live things that took place. But you want to know something? They're also a very good guidebook. I told you last week, the leader is the one who wrote the book on it. Brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot in there that is taking place now. It's taking place right before our eyes. You talk about a famine in the land. Brothers and sisters, there's a famine in this land. The Word of God, the bread of life, it's not being handed out. We might be living in a time of prosperity, but I'm telling you today, we have got to get the Word of God out. It is important that we do that. The second chapter of the book of Joel. And I'm going to try not to read all this. I know I don't have the time. I would encourage every single one of you to mark this in your Bible. I'd encourage it for you to go home this week. And I want you to read the book of Joel. Wonderful stuff in there. Wonderful things that took place here. They may not have seemed very good, but what God told them and what we're going to try to bring out this morning was wonderful things that took place. Sometimes it takes getting to your lowest point to realize that you've got to go back up. I've been in the lowest points in my life sometimes, and I've known that the only way back up was going to be with the Lord. First verse says this, and I'm going to read the first verse, maybe the second verse, and we're going to skip down to verse 12. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh,
for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like. Neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. And it goes on to the next few verses. It talks about some of the things that were going to take place here. And they would be enough to scare me to death. They'd be enough to scare any of us to death that would think about some of the things that took place. But you think about this 12th verse. We're going to go there. Therefore, also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all of your heart and with lasting and with weeping and with mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments. He's not saying take off your garments, rend those off. He's saying rend your heart. Get your heart right and repent toward me. And turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering, a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in sign, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Brothers and sisters, we're living in a day just like this. People are asking, where is your God? Where is He at? They look at us today and they might look at us and say, well, guess what? They're not doing a whole lot for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'm contending that as long as we are here and we're still meeting in the Spirit and in truth, that we're still doing things for the Lord. I believe that. Brothers and sisters, we can always do more. You might say, preacher, we're doing the best we can. Brothers and sisters, our best is always more that we can do. There's always more that I can do for the Lord. I fail Him every day. As your pastor, the Lord knows that I fail Him in everything that I do. I feel like I'm the greatest failure that there ever has been. But I'm saying today, oh, that people need to look at us and they need to say, I want who their God is. I want to know about the person that they know. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't let them look around and say, where is their God? You know, that lady, more than likely, she probably didn't know too much about Elijah's God. But she sounded like she knew quite a bit about Him. As thy Lord thy God liveth. Sounds like she knew something about it. She could see something. She could feel something. She could know something. Brothers and sisters, she didn't have to ask, where's your God? She might have doubted a little bit, but guess what? She still followed the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. I want to read the 18th verse. Then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. The 21st verse says this, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree, and the vine do yield their strength. And this is what's beautiful about this. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For He hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Brothers and sisters, we were just talking about a time over there when it hadn't rained in a while. And here we're talking about repenting toward the Lord and getting our hearts in shape to worship the Lord and do the things that God would have for us to do. And He says, I will send rain to you. Last April's been almost a year ago. And guess what? I believe it started to rain. I believe little by little it started. Brothers and sisters, but I'm still waiting for the day that God opens up the storehouses of heaven and just unleashes a flood of His Holy Spirit upon this church. I'm still expecting it. He says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord, for He hath given you the former rain moderately. Oh, and the floor shall be full of wheat. and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. This is a wonderful part of it. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Brothers and sisters, we need not be ashamed this morning. There's nothing for us to be ashamed about. Romans says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Brothers and sisters, we cannot be ashamed of what God has done and is doing in our lives and in our church. We cannot be ashamed. Has He not been good to us? Has He not dealt more bountifully with us than we have ever thought about giving back to Him? I can just speak for myself this morning and know that I've not been as good to Him as He has been good to me. It says that if we would do these things, and I'm telling you today, the underlying theme is have faith. Brothers and sisters, we must have faith. We've got to hold on. We've got to stay strong in a world around us that is raging and telling us to let go of your God, let go of your thinking, your doctrines. We cannot let go. The principles, the precepts of this church, the doctrines of salvation, brothers and sisters, we've got to stand firm upon them and not be ashamed of them. People might ask sometime, they may ask, "Well, how do you believe that people get saved?" And I'm not afraid to tell them, "For by grace are you saved through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast." I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of what we believe here at Mount Calvary. I'm not ashamed to tell the world that I'm an old-time missionary Baptist. I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm ashamed of who I am and what God has made me, brothers and sisters. We're the Lord's people. We are Israel. We are His peculiar people. We are His city that is set on a hill, a city that's light cannot be hid. Oh, what joy that is. I have a couple more verses of Scripture I want to read, and I'm going to try to close. If the Lord will be our helper. Honestly, when I started preaching, I thought, well, I won't be up there too long. And I guess I've maybe held you a little longer than I thought I would. But I'm going to say, brothers and sisters, I just have to preach what God has given me. Whether short or long, I can't worry about those things, and neither can you. We have to do and follow the Lord. I'm telling you, following the Lord is the easiest, hardest thing that you will ever do. Because sometimes we think we've gone far enough, and sometimes we've not gone far enough. But I'm thankful for the Lord that lets us know the path that we're on. I'm thankful for that. Turn with us to the 66th chapter of the book of Isaiah. 66th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The 8th verse says this: "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the God, saith thy God? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." Brothers and sisters, this has been many, many times ago. And I'm going to say today, a lot of times when you read Zion or hear of Zion, a lot of times that is talking about the Lord's church and the things that will happen with it. When the Lord's church travails, she shall bring forth children. I'm convinced that sometimes the church has to travail and it will bring forth children. When I mean children, I mean those that are getting saved, those that are being baptized into the church. I'm convinced that the Lord still wants that today. I'm convinced that He does. I want to read just a few more verses and I'll try to close. 10th verse says, "Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, and all ye that mourn for her." And if you'll turn over to the 18th verse. It says, "For I know their works and their thoughts, and it shall come that I will gather all the nations in tongues, and they shall come, and they shall see my glory." When I think about Welcome to the Mount Calvary Bakery, and maybe that seems like a silly title to you. If you think about a bakery, and if you thought about a bakery then, and I can't really imagine that they had the little corner bakery back in this widow's time and Elijah's time. I just really can't picture that in my mind. But you think about this. You think about that little lady and how she didn't have much. A bakery, if they're going to produce items to sell, they're going to have just a little bit. They're going to have more than just a little oil and more than a handful of meal. They're going to have something that they can make things out of. They're going to have something that they can sell to people, that they can show to people, that they can have out so people can see what's on display. They're going to have to. She wouldn't have had enough to have sold probably one. And when I think of this cake, I always think of the little cornbread cakes. That's just what comes to my mind. It's probably not like that. I think of the meal and I think of the little cornbread cake, and that's what comes to mind. She probably didn't have a whole lot. She had just a little bit. She wouldn't have had enough to have made me mad. But you think about a bakery. Welcome to the Mount Calvary Bakery. Brothers and sisters, we've got more than just a little oil. We've got more than just a little meal. Brothers and sisters, we've got something to show the whole entire world. Whoever may pass this way, whoever may come in, whoever may visit from different times, the lost that are around us, brothers and sisters, when they come in, they're going to be able to see that there is something about us that they should want. I'm going to say today, I've never been in a bakery that I didn't want everything that was in the cakes. I have a sweet tooth. I like it. But I want people to step through those doors. And I want us to go out in the world. Brothers and sisters, this church is not this building. This church is the people that are members here, that gather here from time to time. And when we go out into the world, we need to tell people. We need to take that bakery with us and show it to the whole entire world. We need to entice them. And you say, "Preacher, are you trying to make a deal with somebody?" No. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say this today, and I believe it with everything that is within me. If people look at us and we say that we've been saved, and they look at us and they say, "Well, they look like the most glum individual. They look like the most unhappy individual there ever has been." Do you think they're going to want what I've got? Why? I know some people that haven't been saved, and they can put on a good act and make themselves look pretty happy. I'm convinced that when they see us, they need to see the Spirit about us. That way that they want it. That way that they know that they have got to have it. The night that I got saved, and I have told this at different times, those women that were sitting in their women's corner, I was sitting on the front bench, they were sitting in their women's corner just about like this. The Spirit was there. My heart was broken. Oh, and they were just singing. There was about six or seven of them sitting over there. And I looked up there and they just looked like they were just having the biggest time. Well, here I was, my heart was just as broken as it could be. And here they were just singing songs about heaven, and here I was just as lost as I could be, going to hell. I looked up there and I had seen them many, many times. I'd sat in that spot at Pleasant Hill a number of times. And I looked up there and I wanted what they had. That they could sit there and enjoy what God was doing. I wanted that. And you know what happened when I wanted it bad enough? The Lord saved my soul. That's what we've got to show the world. That's what we've got to be about. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. When you walk into a bakery, if they had everything behind things you couldn't see and you said, "I wanted a chocolate eclair," and you got back in there and they pulled it out and it looked like a mangled mess, you'd think, "Well, why in the world did I choose that? You couldn't see it. You didn't know. You'd have chose something else." We don't need to be behind closed doors. The world has all of these things that look real good. Oh, they look real good. And they've got them on glass display. Brothers and sisters, our lives need to be a glass display to this whole entire world so they can see what we've got. This lady, she took her faith and she turned it into something that they would be sustained through that whole entire famine because she followed the Lord. There's no telling how many people today that are looking at us and they are just trying to examine what we are. Brothers and sisters, put your fruit out there. Put it on display and show the world that we are God's people. Welcome to the Mount Calvary Bakery. hope and pray that people that come in here, they're going to want what we've got. I'm not selling you anything. You can pay me all day long. You can give me everything you've got to try to get you into heaven. And guess what? You'll still die and go to hell. I don't have the ability to take your money and say, guess what, Lord, they gave me $10,000. I'm going to get them into heaven. It don't work that way. You need what God has to offer you. And I'm going to say today, they need to see what we've got so that they can get what God is offering. May God bless you is our prayer. I hope and pray that this message has been beneficial to someone. If it has not, it has been beneficial to me. And brothers and sisters, sometimes a message just hits one person. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, first verse says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's have a little faith today, Mount Calvary Church. May God bless you is our prayer while we stand and while we sing.